Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin with your hosts, Don McCauley and Danielle Hampson.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Marcy Lucart, and Marcy is the author of River Braids, a novel. Marcy's short stories have appeared in The Iconoclast, Bellowing Ark, Pangolin Papers, Beginnings, QWF, and the Connecticut Review. Marcy lives in Santa Barbara, California with her husband. Marcy, how are you?
I am doing fine, Don. Thank you so much.
Let's start with a big question. Tell us about this book, please.
This is a book of family over time. It's the story of Sonny Barton, who was raised on his grandfather's stories about the Mississippi River and the 1904 Olympics and his grandfather's place on the rowing team. And Sonny comes home in the year 2004 and discovers that his grandfather's prized Olympic rowing photo is a fraud. And so the story then takes place in 1904, where we're seeing the story of Joe and what went on in the Olympics in 1904, and of Sonny's homecoming and his discovery of his family and really what family means.
Now, who did you write this book for specifically?
I wrote this book for people who like a good story, people who like to be engaged in a good story, people who like a character-driven story. I wrote this book for people who are in book clubs and like a really good book discussion. I think those are the people who tend to gravitate towards this.
Now, would you say there's any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that runs throughout the book?
There's an underlying theme of community and belonging and of finding where a person fits into society. There's a theme of prejudice. There's a theme of bigotry and how our small-mindedness marginalizes people. It's a story about family, and it's a story about hope and forgiveness, in a sense.
If you could compare this book with any book out there, or even a movie, which book or movie would it be, and why?
The one title that keeps coming into my head when people ask me this question is Huckleberry Finn. Maybe it's because it's on the Mississippi River. Maybe it's because it takes place in that part of the country around Hannibal and St. Louis. And because it deals with issues of prejudice and family. And a lot of it takes place in the era similar to Huckleberry Finn. So I'd say Huckleberry Finn. Maybe Huckleberry Finn meets A River Runs Through It, to get a little bit more of the modern, edgier sense.
What drew you to write this story?
Well, that was really fun. The story came out of a trip that my husband and I took. He and his brother had always had the fantasy about doing the Huck Finn fantasy, building a raft and rafting down the Mississippi River. So they did. They flew to Hannibal, Missouri. They built a raft. I flew out there and joined them, and we floated for 2 days down the Mississippi River, camped on the river. And while I was there, I encountered an old boat club and some pictures on the wall. So when I came home to write a short story about two brothers. And I just started doing research, trying to find those pictures again so that I could set the scene. And I ended up reading about the 1904 Olympics, about the Louisiana Purchase Exhibition, and about how American Indians were not allowed to participate in the games in that time. And my short story became a novel, became a what-if with these other characters. So it was purely just reading about the people of that time and imagining what it might have been like.
So are the characters drawn from real-life characters?
The characters are not so much drawn from real-life characters as Sonny is probably a lot like my husband. But most of the characters are just out of my imagination. But the situation, the historical situation in 1904 that they were in, were based on real situations. It was real. There were really something called the Anthropology Games at the 1904 Olympics. There was really an ethnology exhibit where basically they had living exhibits of indigenous peoples recreating their villages. So a lot of the setting is drawn from reality, but the characters are purely fictional.
Where did the title come from?
The title came from, I mean, there's a metaphorical quality to the title as well as a very physical reality to the title. First of all, the story, the novel braids together three stories. We have the story of Joe in 1904, we have the story of Sonny in 2004, and we have the story of Annie, who is Sonny's grandmother, and her stories also in 2004. So those three stories are braided together. But at the same time, when you look at a river, when you look at the Mississippi River, the satellite shots of the river itself braids. The river's always changing course, so there's always a braiding going on.
Now, many of the characters are American Indian. What are your qualifications for writing their experience?
My expertise is in writing the heart of people, regardless of their ethnicity. And so my feeling is that the ethnicity is important in terms of cultural experiences that people have, but my story is really mostly about, if somebody's faced with this experience, what would their emotional reaction be? And that's what I'm writing. I'm writing what I feel is the real emotional reaction that people have in situations that I can imagine.
Now, Joe is not allowed to row in the Olympics because he's part Native American. Do you feel that that's relevant in today's world?
I feel that's incredibly relevant in today's world. I think that maybe a lot of times people are excluded from things because of their backgrounds. Maybe in some senses it's not so overtly because of the political correctness that exists today. But there are people who are kept out of venues because of their history, their color, the way they speak. I think it speaks very currently to what's going on in the world.
Joe participates in something called the Anthropology Games. What were those?
This was one of the things that kind of drew me into the story originally when I was reading about the Olympics and the time. There was something called the Anthropology Games. Well, I had majored in anthropology in college, so I'm thinking, oh, what's the Anthropology Games? And then I started reading about it, and it was a parallel. So this was background. The Olympics in this was basically a sidebar. This was the Louisiana Purchase Exhibition. This was the World's Fair that was going on at this time. So there was a lot going on in St. Louis in 1904 around the exhibition. And the Olympics was kind of a sidebar that was added on at the time. But then they had something called the Anthropology Games, where they took all the indigenous peoples who were around at the time from all different parts of the world and a lot of different Native American tribes, and they had them competing in tug-of-wars and spear tosses, things that at the time the powers that be thought were the kinds of games that people from lesser societies were qualified to participate in. So it was a primitives competition is how they looked at it.
Did you learn anything from writing this book? And if so, what was it?
Well, I mean, one major thing I learned was this whole aspect of our history. I really had no clue what was going on at that time. I learned a lot about the Indian schools that Native American children were being sent to try and Americanize them. I learned a lot about the non-prejudicial side, what was at the 1904 Louisiana Purchase Exhibition was incredible. That's where Jack Daniel's whiskey first won its prize. That's where the ice cream cone came from. The exhibits that were going on there were the latest technology of its time. And much of that stuff is still in our vernacular, still part of our society. It was really very forward-thinking technologically, but at the same time, there were all these other undercurrents of social hierarchy that were going on.
Would you say that you have a specific writing style?
I would say I definitely have a specific writing style. First of all, it's very concise. I'm not a very flowery writer. I tend to write short sentences and flow, and I always think of myself as a painter with words. I try and get to the heart of what's going on in a scene visually, sensually, emotionally, with as few brush strokes as I can accomplish. I want to just bring the person in, set it and go. I don't belabor. Actually, I just had somebody who posted a review on Amazon, and they said that they found it very Hemingway-esque, which made me feel very in good company.
In your opinion, who should buy this book?
People who are interested in history will like this book. People who, I've found that book club people love this book. People who want a book that will generate discussion like this book, because there ends up being a lot to talk about that in terms of history, but also in terms of people's personal experience. So I would say that any book club out there would like this book.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
The book's available anywhere. It's available at bookstores. If they don't have it on the shelves, they can get it. It's available at Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. It's available through my publisher's website. That's Seahill Press. And you can get links to it through my website, marcyleuchart.com. So it is pretty much wherever you want to go to get a book, you can get this book.
Could you spell your name for us, please?
Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y. And my last name is Leuchart, L-U-I-K-A-R-T.
This has been Just Great. Our guest today has been Marcy Leuchart, and she's the author of River Braids, a novel. Marcy, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Don. I had a great time.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each month you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com. Fill out the form and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the author's marketing powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-955-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.